Radio 77 WABC. It's Sunday, and you know what that means. Here's Dick Morris on 77 WABC.
In one hour, get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
So it's my honor to be here tonight, today, with Conrad Tillard, who is the pastor. What is the name of your congregation, Conrad?
I'm at Flatbush Tompkins Congregational Church in Flatbush, but I've also served at Nazarene Congregational Church in Bedford-Stuyvesant. So
good.
I have
bless
you correct. I've pastored in Harlem, Roxbury, Bedford-Stuyvesant, and now Flatbush. So my ministry has been entirely an urban ministry.
Good. Well, it's wonderful. Wonderful to talk to you and good of you to come on. So sure. Tell me what you think about what's going on in the black community between the two genders.
Well, I'm very happy to be here, and I certainly will get to that. But I do want to say, and I thank you for clarifying. I am a Democrat, but I'm a common sense Democrat. I mean, I live in Kings County, perhaps the most Democratic stronghold in America. But I'm a common sense Democrat. I'm an Eric Adams Democrat. I'm a person that believes that the party is being pushed to extreme positions by the progressive wing of the party. And I'm concerned about that. And my concern is that, you know, as Tip O'Neill said, and I read the great Thomas P. Tip O'Neill's book, he said all politics are local. And I have no problem with how blacks have flourished in the Democratic Party locally. I mean, look at New York. Mm-hmm. Our mayor comes out of that party, the attorney general, the public advocate, et cetera, et cetera. However, Republicans win most presidential elections. Since I have been alive, Republicans have won most of the presidential elections. And I'm simply concerned that black people need to have a different calculus in terms of national politics. I've
How
been
so?
Advocating for 5 years a 70-30 plan, which should put about 30% of us solidly in the Republican Party. And it, lastly, it'll just make our vote and our demographic be pursued more competitively.
I think that Democrats treat blacks like a golf handicap. You go into the race and you're 20 points behind because you're 20 points ahead because you have the black vote, and they take it.
Well,
totally
no one
granted.
Would know that better than you because you worked so closely with the Clinton,
right.
The chief beneficiaries of the black vote.
You got that right. So, but you were talking to me about the difference in perspectives between black men and black women within
yes.
the black family. Please explain.
Well,
what
I'm saying is that the Democrats have they have done a very cynical calculation, and that calculation is, in spite of the fact that black men vote overwhelmingly Democratic as well as black women. I mean, in the last election, it looks like Trump made inroads, and but it's still not a very major difference
yeah.
between
right,
the voting.
Right now, in a survey I just conducted, 12%
yes.
of black men, but only 5% of black women say they're Republican.
Right.
And if there were a race of Trump against Biden today, Trump would win 21% of the black male vote, but only 11% of the black female vote.
And the reason I think that is because in spite of overwhelming numbers of black men who have voted for the Democrats, they have continued to ignore the black man and almost trying to divide our community by privileging and only speaking in terms of black women. Well, we live in the homes with these black women. They are our wives and our mothers and our daughters. And what we're saying is we believe in a strong black family and a black community. And if black men are expected to work and take care of their families and be contributing members, positive contributing members of society, then black men have to be included in the equation.
Right.
You know, when you look at the other demographics, there's no single demographic that votes as solidly as blacks. And black men are more Democratic than women who voted 60-40 in the Trump-Hillary election. 40% went for Trump. And so black people have the right and also the responsibility to exercise and use their vote in an intelligent way. And when you park all of your votes in one party in terms of national elections, If the opposite party wins, we're in a two-party system, then you're disenfranchised for 4 years or 8 years. And we cannot continue to have that reality. And that's why I've been advocating this 70-30 plan.
What do you think black men are complaining about in terms of the preference of the Democrats for black
women? Well, they're complaining about never hearing the term.
So apparent in the Supreme Court pick, where Biden says, I'm going to appoint a black woman, not a black person.
Right. I mean, what black men are concerned about is never hearing the Democratic Party say the term black men. You know, it's interesting, when Obama ran for president, had he said at one point, I am going to be the first black male president, it would have killed his presidency. It would have killed his move in the primary. But yet Kamala Harris was able to declare proudly that she would be the first woman of color. We've got to fix that and change that and not try to bifurcate the black community, but also talk about the great achievements and advancements for black women and black men. It's not that black men are upset that Biden will put a black woman on the Supreme Court. In fact, the lie of feminism is that black women or women in general are in this by themselves. It's a black man, Clyburn out of South Carolina, that insisted that Biden would make this pick and fulfill his promise. The issue is, out of all of the Supreme Court nominees and those judges on the bench from the Democratic Party, all of them are women.
Yep.
And so we have to equalize the playing field, level the playing field, and black men are not going to sit idly by and continue to not hear their names called. And the other thing is, black men are interested in enterprise. They're interested in the free market. They're interested in opportunity. It appears that black women have achieved in terms of the corporate sector, who sort of made a decision that they would hire both women as a double minority. And many black men are forced to be entrepreneurs. And so we've got to, you know, this is where the free market message of the Republican Party has attracted black men. I saw the other day where a rapper, a popular rapper from Atlanta, Waka Flocka, he was saying how Donald Trump had shown him how to set up corporations and how to utilize the American system
and how to avoid taxes
to limit his tax obligations, that's the American way.
I think we need to look back to understand this, to the days of Pat Moynihan, when he said that the key cause of poverty in the black community was the breakup of the nuclear family, where he said that no longer could the man be counted on in the family to support the family financially and provide a role model for the black boys. And he said that unless we strengthened the economic and social position of black men, we were condemning an entire generation to poverty. Now, at the moment, 70%, 7 out of 10 of black children are growing up in households without a father. And that means one income. That means instead of two income families, they're in poverty, no role model for black boys, and absolutely dooming them to poverty. Now, in the last 30 years or 40 years, the emphasis in public policy by the Democratic Party and Republican has been to help black men, help raise their stature, help make sure that they get good educations and can get good jobs. But now the left wing of the Democratic Party is not doing that. They are replacing black men. It's suddenly Heather has two mommies. It's the LGBTQ community saying, we don't need black men. We have black women. And I think that as they push the social agenda of trans sports, of gender change, and of affirmative action programs that benefit black women but not black men, that black men are feeling not only ignored by the Democratic Party, but potentially replaced by them.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, the lie is that the Democrats do actually need black men. Okay, the electorate is so divided that if they want to take the 92% or the 87% of votes that they've received from black men in the last presidential elections. If they want to scoff at that because black women voted a few percentage points more for the Democrats, then that would be an unwise direction. But the fact of the matter is, this is where common sense Democrats have to stand up and say, wait a minute. We know that, yes, if you're at Wellesley College or if you are at Smith College, the concept of a single mother looks quite differently than if you're in Bedford-Stuyvesant in Harlem as a single mother with four or five boys with no father around. And we, as black people who are the number one, the most loyal constituency to the Democrats, we can't take direction from the LGBTQ caucus. We can't take direction from the feminist caucus. We have our own needs. And just as, you know, even the LGBTQ community has been politically savvy enough, many of them voted for Trump. They had a significant number of people who voted for both sides, because any wise constituency wants to be protected, indemnified, and at the table no matter who wins. And so if black people who are directing the party, who actually saved Biden's nomination and ultimately put him in the White House, don't have the courage to say, wait a minute, that message of thinking that if you speak up for a nuclear family, if you say single parent households are not good, that used to be an article of faith that all sane people who looked at the urban landscape took for granted and understood. And the facts remain, whether a child is black, white, brown, red, yellow, green, or purple, they do better in a two-parent household. And we have to, as a party,
particularly when one of those parents is a man.
Well, that is my understanding of family in terms of the ideal model for family. But, and I'll let the other groups have their own agenda and their own concerns.
Sure, but if you have a black
African-American community.
But you can't argue that a black boy is better off with two black women raising him than with a successful, entrepreneurial, loving black man.
Well, I would not argue that. I have not argued that. I'm simply saying that, you know, I recognize the Democratic Party is a big tent, and there are people in the Democratic Party, for them, that's their reality, and that is the position they will argue.
Now, I want to interrupt this for a minute with a testament to how black women feel about black men.
I'm going to tell you what I told a liberal feminist professor recently, a liberal white woman feminist professor. I said, you can't tell me about black women. My mother's a black woman. I have been married to black women, and my daughter is a black woman. So I know that we have our issues just like white folks. The good white folks, you all have your issues, too, because white men are dealing with the same thing, and certainly women were kept out of society and they need to be included, but it can't be at the exclusion of the very men who will be expecting to take care of these women and their children. You know, with Clinton, you all put a whole bunch of black men in jail for child support. But the fact of the matter is, if they can't find jobs, how are they going to pay child support?
I did do that. That's right.
Am I right or wrong?
You're right. You're right. It's a big deal.
Well, I appreciate your honesty.
In fact, we had a million man march to talk about father responsibility.
Absolutely.
The goal was not to put them in jail. But anyway, Conrad, I really appreciate you coming on, and thank you for these wonderful intellectual insights. You're a great person.
I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.